Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Today's a good day. You guys know it's Mother's Day. And in all the Mother's Days, it's a special day for me because a couple of reasons. You know, my mom passed just a few weeks ago, and so it's going to be hard for me. If I'm teary, just bear with me. You can cry with me. And then for another reason, you know, it was 38 years ago that my mom begged me to go to church with her on a Mother's Day. And I did it. Reluctantly, I did it. And if you guys could have seen me then, you wouldn't even, I mean, sometime I'll just bring some of those pictures and have a testimony of the Lord, you know, of his goodness and his grace. But 38 years ago, walked into church on a Mother's Day, and they didn't do a Mother's Day message that day. And I have patterned myself after that. I usually just do whatever I feel like God is speaking, and I do have a message for us today, and I want to get to that too. But I don't want to move too fast past honor, because honor is a powerful thing. And I'm going to invite, if you get something in your heart that you want to share about your mom, I'm going to invite you up here to do it. I know everybody went, because, you know, you could get, anybody could have any slight bit of kookiness and try to come up here and do something crazy, but I got the Holy Ghost, so I wouldn't recommend. But you have, like, you can come and just give honor to your mom, something that your mom said in the best light that you can put it. Because I'm going to tell you what, my mom and I didn't start out good. We finagled and navigated through a lot of dangerous and hard places through my teen years. And then even after I got saved, we had struggles, you know, and some her insecurities and my own. But you know what we did? We resolved everything. Because the Lord is good and his mercy is new every day. And every day he gives us an opportunity to say words like, I'm sorry about that. Help me understand what you meant by that. Please forgive me for that. And those kinds of words, they're powerful. They're so small, but we're so stubborn and we get so hard-hearted that we can't even say, I'm sorry. Let me look in your eyes and tell you, man, you have been a joy and a delight to walk next to. And you have been an inspiration to me. I'm going to tell you a couple stories about my mom, but one more thing. I'm just full of illustrations this morning because I'm back in the pulpit, and it always feels comfortable because the anointing is so rich, it's so good. But it's, you know, it's my first time since she passed, and so I want to make sure I honor her. And there was a time I went to, you know, women's advances are so great. We're planning ours, by the way. If you're a lady, or if you know a lady, and you should get her there, and you should come. It's going to be powerful and good. The title is The Hem. That's a whole other thing. But I was at one of those things, and the lady was preaching on grief. And, you know, you guys, if you know me, I'm a positive person. I'm not even a glass half full. I'm just like, I'm in the whole well. I got everything all the time. Trust the Lord. I always see the bright side. I don't wallow. I'm not a wallower. I don't complain. I'm not a complainer. I don't like to. It makes your spirit go, wah, wah, wah. And I'm in the image of God. I got to be shiny, you know. So I live like that. But I'm not a machine. So when my mom passes, of course, I hurt. Well, these little rocks right here, these are actually my mom's. I found them when I was cleaning up some of her stuff. But when I went to this event, the lady was teaching about how you can hold gratitude and grief in the same hand at the same time. And I mean, I thought it was a great message. I didn't realize that 2 weeks after that, my sister was going to pass. Yeah. My sister. And then I go, where are those rocks? I was digging through the drawer and I found them. I found those. And the shiny, sweet, smooth one, that's the gratitude. And the bumpy, hard one, well, this one's been rubbed a lot. The bumpy one was grief and things that are hard. But I can hold both of those things in the same hand and I can worship God with gratitude that I'm still here, that I'm building a legacy of my own, a gorgeous legacy of my own. I'm a rich lady. So I just wanted to share those things with you. And I was going to tell you a couple stories. You know, my mom, it's so funny. Like, like, because of the, maybe the rockiness in the early times, in the early days, I really kept myself guarded. Does anybody keep themselves guarded? Don't let anybody talk. Don't let anybody speak life or tell you how to do anything because you got it. You know, you're. This is how I was a lot with my mom. And she would roll her eyes sometimes, and then other times she would just, she realized, you know, what the path that we had been on and how it was. And she would trust the Lord with my life. And she was proud of the way that I could hear from him. And she loved me. She loved my life. But I remember, you know, when she was asking me to go to church, and she had this book. And it was like this wide book, you know, narrow book. And so the pages were just like huge. And it was the bloodline of Jesus Christ all the way from the beginning of time. All the prophets, everything was in this book. It was a fabulous book. And the bloodline starts when Jesus is born, and it actually started way back, you know, in the garden. There was parallel lines. In any case, it was awesome. And we're watching it, and there was a place in this little book where all these little bodies are little character drawings, and they're flying up into the air, into the clouds. And Scott and I were at her house that night, and my mom, you know, I think sometimes you think you have to be perfect to be a witness, and you don't. None of you are perfect, and neither am I. Oh my gosh. There's only one perfect, and it's the Lord. And so if we keep ourselves in a place where I'm not good enough to represent him, or I'm not good enough to speak his name, then his name will not be spoken. If it be your will that I speak your name I will speak. And it is his will, and we know it. And so this is kind of just my mom. She'd be sitting there, you know, smoking her cigarettes and looking at this and telling us about Jesus. And Scott looked at the little thing that were all these little bodies flying up into the air. And we're reading in Thessalonians about how a great capturing away of the saints will come. And, you know, and those who are dead in Christ, there's little graves that are busted open. Somebody drew this. It was a little illustrated book. All these graves are popped open and these bodies flying up. And Scott was like, I never heard of that before. You know, he grew up in Church of Christ. We're going to teach about the rapture a lot. But in any case, Scott goes home and tells his parents that he wants to get baptized. That's the Church of Christ thing. You get baptized, that's your salvation as soon as you move. And on the day that we were at the gravesite, Scott got tattooed on his arm his date of baptism. And it says redemption. It's just really cool. Tattoo, and he flashes that, because we're telling stories about my mom at the graveside too, standing there by the coffin, and he goes, I'll never forget you, Peggy. This is the day, this date is on my arm forever, that you showed me Jesus in that book, and I knew that my heart wasn't God's. And to the tribute of my mom, everything you see because of the way she lived her life while she smoked her cigarettes and said those words, she did it. And we followed that. You can never underestimate what you're doing. Now, my mom was funny. I mean, she got really bold and a little bit sassy as she got a little older. And those of you in her Bible study know this. Is she bossy or is she not bossy? Bossy. That's where I get it. And so, I'd come in here and watch her just grow. And when she was younger, she would lose her temper if everything wasn't cool. Man, she had a big temper. And I had to learn to get that in check because I also inherited that. And so when you're a control freak and you have to get over your own temper, it's a lot, you know. So, I mean, we always say Stacy was our practice kid. I mean, it would be like, I can't believe you spilled that drink. And it's like, who cares? It's a drink. But the Lord has to bring grace. So by the time Jesse comes along, she could be throwing Kool-Aid everywhere. It wouldn't even matter because it's already burned out. You know, it's not a favor. It was the work of God that took a while to get there. And then Christy was that sweet piece in the middle to help us figure it out. But my mom, she would lose her temper. One time she made this cake, you know. My mom made amazing cakes. This whipped cream cake with the strawberry filling. And she made this pineapple upside down cake, was her favorite cake to make. So brown sugar, just, oh my God, so good. And so she brought it and she's bringing it in to show us. And she lifts it down and it falls out of the pan. And I mean, my mom could string words together like a sailor. Save but cuss a little. Now, this was a long time ago. And she would do it. But she grew so far that she didn't have hardly any foul words. I mean, foul words were not part of her vernacular the last decade or so of her life. Well, the last 5 years anyway. And she just learned how to be gracious and how to be full of grace. So fast forward, I think it was February, we had a funeral here for one of my cousins, and my mom said, I'll be in charge of the food. And I was like, Mom, now, I can't be your go-to person for that. If you're going to be in charge of the food, you got to get these ladies with you. And she's like, I'll do it. And she's walking around going, I'm in charge. She came to our leadership getaway this year. It's the only leadership thing she ever really went to. And she went to it with us this year. And she was so proud that she was there, that God would call her a leader, because she always kind of backed into stuff like that. But man, the last few years, she figured it out. And so I just wanted you to know, she was amazing, and I know that you know that. Does anybody have anything that they want to say about their mom? Something that's a thing that they, not me, not my, don't make me cry. You guys, you know, if you guys want to talk about your mom, if you want to, like, I know there's a thing like some of you ladies that sat under Bomber's mom, and all those Bible studies, all those years, you still, when you send me a card or a text, you put in his grip. That came from her. You know, if there's something like that, I want to hear it. I want you to minister to us with it. And let's just honor our moms. What does the Bible say about it? Give honor where honor is due. And there's only one commandment with the promise that if you honor your father and mother, you live a long life on the earth, you know, and the Lord will prosper you. And you don't have to. I just thought you might want to. And I never do it. So I just thought, I never do this. I have never done this once. I've been preaching a long time. But I felt like we should do it for a minute. Come up here, Ange. Okay, this one? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. This is what we call an audible.
It is an audible. And I got a microphone.
Oh, boy.
Well, one of the things that I really love about my mom is when I was in my stupor days and I was out in the streets, my mom taught me before I even knew God that unconditional love. Because no matter what I was out there doing or where I was, or to this day, I still call her every single day or night to tell her night. I've been doing it since I was out there in the streets. And she is always, she's always loved me and taken me back.
Yeah.
You know, her home was always a safe place. And then when I came to the Lord, she actually bought a black dress while I was on the streets for my funeral. So when I came to the Lord, it brought her back to the Lord. And we have a relationship now that we've never had before. We are like really best friends. You know, I can talk to her about anything. And one of the things that I always remember about my mom is that no matter what I'm going through, you know how, what was it, a wrestler say, somebody better call my mama? That rings true to me. If anything I'm going through, if I get angry or whatever, somebody better call my mama, because that's about the only person that can calm me down other than Jesus. But you know what I mean, as far as a personal person here. So I'll never forget that she has always been by my side and never left me, and it taught me that unconditional love before I ever knew God. So, yeah, I'm always going to remember that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
See how it makes you feel happy to hear? Does anybody else want to say something? Look, I don't care. We'll take as much time as we want on this, because it's Mother's Day. For the love of God, you know, if your mom's still out there, you still have your mom. Go see her. Soften your heart, you know. We always put a disclaimer, if you had a bad mom, that's different. But if you got your mom and your mom walks slow, walk slow. If you've got your mom and she repeats herself, listen again. Because someday she won't be there to do it. Christine?
I have a couple. One, so I grew up Catholic. And my dad grew up Catholic, so that's how we got. My mom wasn't practicing anything, but when they got married, she decided that she would practice Catholicism just so that they were united and that we would have a family culture of faith. So she went to church every Sunday, even though she wasn't baptized Catholic or anything of that nature, just for me and my sisters to show us that community. Wow. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Secondly, she told me one time, she goes, I have to love you because you're my daughter, but I like you too. And that's just really cool, just to have that as like, she likes me. I mean, she has to love me, right? But she likes me. And then lastly, this was just this past week. I woke up and I was just having a bum morning and I was just in a funk. And I went over to my parents And it just revitalized me. I just sat there with them for an hour and talked to them. And then I left. And I even told them, I'm like, I was in a funk. And just being around you guys just brings me back. So parents are awesome.
They are.
Just a few.
It's wonderful. Oh, come on. Come on, Elijah. Okay. Put straight toward you. There you go.
Okay, cool. This makes me a little nervous. But as much as you know, Angie's like my mom. And for a long time, I got everything that I wanted to do. Angie was always the first person there who knew about it. And I think the first time I wanted to do track, Angie was like, oh, let me buy your track shoes and come to your track meets. And Angie was always the first person, always there for me. And then me going to college, I just randomly called Angie up. And I was like, hey, how do you fly? I've never been on a plane before. And I'm just going to go to Fargo, Pennsylvania. And Angie stopped everything that she was doing to come teach me how to fly, get on a plane with me, fly me to college, tour to college with me, and help me make the biggest decision of my life to go to college.
It's what moms do.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my gosh. So yeah, just a little bit about my mom there.
That's so great. I told Angie this morning, she was saying Happy Mother's Day and all that, and I said, you know, you might not have birthed children, but you've mothered. Some of you haven't birthed children, but man, you've mothered. And you've done a good job, so. Going once. Okay. Well, Mom, we love you. Thank you for your life and your goodness. And thank you to every mom who pours her life out just continually over and over. And moms, you know, I believe moms do the best they can. I mean, every mom isn't everywhere all the time. And moms deal with their own pain. You know, it's their first time, too. First time being a mom. First time having grown-up kids. First time making their way through. But moms, we see you. And you know what God can see? Every stage of your life. And this stage right here, when you gotta watch every single movement and feed every single bite and change diapers and fight the strong, you know, the will. It's like God can see that too, but that season is so brief. And then they grow up and it's like you have an amazing season of coaching and talking and living life. And then for me, I farmed my best friends. You know, I made my best friends. Now, when they were little, they weren't my best friends. You know, they were a lot of work, but I adored them and I loved them, and it was a lot of challenge. But now I can sit across from them in this long season and just enjoy their lives, right? All right. Thank you, God, for moms. I love it. So I do have a word from the Lord. I won't have it. I'll just maybe give it in two parts. I don't know. I'm really good at that, too. But just to start, I want to talk to us about the intention of God. A couple weeks ago, you know, before all the stuff went down here, we were learning about justification and sanctification, if you recall. And justification is when God says and makes a declaration over you because of the work of Jesus that you're not guilty. And I think some of us are like, oh yeah, I'll take that. And that's great, you know, because the thing about Jesus' work is that it is based on him. Not you. But there's something that you do. You get up under what he has called you to and you serve it with all of your heart. It's the only thing that's free that costs you everything. Salvation is the free gift of the Lord, but it costs everything. It costs your will. It costs your time, attention, your money, your body, your strength, everything. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's how Jesus said it. Free gift. It costs everything. And the intention of God, if you look back, you got to look back at the garden where he first made man in the garden. Remember, how did the world start? With the words that God said, let there be light. And light comes. God is phenomenal. These stories that we know, like the back of our hands, are so wonderful to rehearse and to listen to and to think about over and over again. God says, let there be light. And then he makes trees and he makes, you know, the separation of water and sky. He puts all the food in the plants on the ground. He makes animals to walk around. And then he has the height of his creation. He makes man in his own image. And his intention is to have relationship with us. If that sounds like the ABCs to you, then you need to relearn your ABCs. Because the ABCs are about having a relationship with God. And nothing else really matters. Everything else we do is secondary. So yeah, we have different callings, we have different giftings. Every evangelist is like, what about souls? And every teacher, what about learning the word of God? Every pastor, what about the people? every apostle, how are we going to pull all this together? Well, look, God's intention in the garden was pretty simple. Here you guys go. Paradise. Subdue the earth. Be in charge. Have some kids. Procreate. Live your best life and do whatever you want, but don't eat this. Right? Don't eat this. Somebody told me, look, your apple, that's a bitten apple. I'm like, this is a piece of machine that serves the gospel. Relax. Anyway, but here's the illustration. You know, it's like if God's intention is for us to be made in his image, it's just kind of a crude illustration, okay? But just say that this is you. And you're made in the image of God, and all of us are made in the image of God, right? So it's a crude illustration, like I said. And in the beginning, in that garden, you are meant to hold the presence of God. And just for today, just for this illustration, let's just say that this water is the presence of God. And I have more illustrations coming from this too. But just think, if you are the carrier and the holder, the way that God intended for you to be in the garden with him, and this is his presence, and he intends for you to dip into his presence deep and just be filled with his presence and carry it just all the time in this crude form, right? And you're doing it. You're walking around. You're a living sacrifice. You're an example, an expression of God's presence. And you carry it. It's perfect, right? You get it? But then what happens is sin enters the picture. And sin comes along. And then Adam and Eve are going to have a really bad day. Jesse goes, don't cut yourself while you're doing this illustration. So I'm not going to cut myself. But listen, I got to get it just right. So sin enters the picture. And Adam has a really bad day. And Eve, do it again this way, has a bad day. And sin enters the whole thing, right? And now forevermore, it is impossible to carry the presence of God. Forever. You can't do it. No matter how many times you try to fill this thing up, it's going to run out. And this is where we live perpetually. I can see humanity. We're even the Christians. I'm talking to Christians in this room. Christians running out of the presence of God, unable to keep it because of sin. Now, there's a lot of pain and a lot of struggle going on around us right now. We're going through sickness. We have disease trying to come on our bodies. We have financial duress and attack coming on our body. And I'm not saying that by and large we're in sin. I'm saying if God made us with his intention to have relationship with us, are we doing church or do we have a relationship with God? Because we're never going to be able to hold that presence. Except what happened is that Jesus, come on, Jesus, come be cooperative, Jesus. Jesus, who we're made in the image of, covers us. Okay? That's justification. My sin is still in there, but Jesus covers it. He makes it clean. He makes it so you can't even see it anymore. And then you can hold the presence of God forever. Forever. Because Jesus is holding the presence of God for you. Do you understand that? Isn't that a beautiful example? It's like now you can carry this around all the time because it's not about you and how broken you are. It's about him who covers us and holds us. That's justification. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm just going to put this right here because this thing won't leak. It won't leak. Jesus has no sin. You made him who knew no sin to become sin so that he could hold my stuff, right? Forever. And he can hold us. His grace holding us even now. Okay? Okay, so that's that part. Now, if the intention of God is to walk with us and have relationship with us and keep his presence inside of us like that, right? And then the broken place is the sin. What is that sin? What is the thing? I think it's this. It's the unyielded piece of us that keeps thinking we can do it ourselves. It's the part of us that we keep trying to make something happen in our own flesh, in our own way, or with our own desire, or how we want it to go. Like for us, we have a situation where, you know, like we sell cars for a living. If we don't sell a car, a truck, a very cool truck, if we don't sell a very cool truck, we don't get paid. And so we've been a little busy this last little season, haven't sold any trucks. But do I worry about that? I don't worry about that because it's not about my ability to sell a truck. It is about the presence of God that is inside of me that will draw all men to me when I need to sell that truck. Because I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread, and I'm not going to start now. I'm covered, bought with a price. I belong to him. He is going to come through, right? So we try to do things on our own. So the illustration, we want to hold the presence of God. The problem is we keep trying to do everything in our flesh on our own. And we have good intentions. That's the thing. Have you ever heard this phrase? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's like, it is. Because our intentions are small. We don't think like him. We can't see the whole picture. We can only see where we are. We have like a tunnel vision, right, where our life is and what's happening to us and how this affects me and my people. We can't see the whole of what God might be doing. Because didn't you give your life to him in a way that you just said, I'm yours. Pour my life out like a drink offering everywhere that I go. Let your presence be poured on all mankind around and about. Does that make sense? Did you not yield yourself like that to the Lord? Did you mean it when you were saying, all my love is for you, and you were singing that? You're real quiet. That's okay. You learn. That's good. The miracle on the side of all this is God still wants to be on the inside of us. Mind blown. I know myself. This is not my first choice of a house that I would choose to go and live in there. I know myself. I know my temper. I know my ways. But he chooses me, and he chooses to live in there. And the thing about God, you know, I think we have some kind of idea about the Trinity. Y'all ever heard of the Trinity? It's three persons, one God. We believe that. We believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ his Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sometimes gets a backseat or a bum rap. Now, these are things that I've taught so much of my life that when I, you know, every once in a while, the Holy Spirit has to go, hey, you haven't talked about me like this in a while. Go and tell them, because they don't know. They don't know me like this. They don't know me like that, and I want them to. And so if God the Father was the presence of God on the earth that walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and then Jesus is the one that's prophesied, and he's the presence of God for those 30 years on the earth before he, you know, gave the ultimate sacrifice. What is the presence of God on the earth right now? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and lived on the earth and when Jesus was giving his life in Acts, I think it's like 1:9, he's ascending and he's saying, okay, go to Jerusalem and wait because I'm going to send you a helper that you're going to need. And I've walked this walk, so I know what it's going to take. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit is not some mystical fog that rolls in here and there. It sweeps around the room like some smoke cloud. He is a person. The third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. The first mention of the Holy Spirit is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Spirit of God hovering over the face of the earth. It's the way that he comes. He's been here all along. And I think what happened is we're so enamored with God, you know, God the Father. He's like this authoritative person. And he's big and he's in charge. And he sent his one and only son into the world that we might be saved if we believe. And then we look at Jesus and we get so focused. Jesus is the man, he's our hero. You know, Jesus did the cross. That's intense. We look at that. But what about the Holy Spirit? Do you know him? The Holy Spirit is legit, living right in here and speaking to you, go that way. Don't do that. That's going to be bad. This will be really good. Constantly. Constantly. You're driving your car, and all of a sudden you look up right before you crash into the back of that Mercedes. Yeah, that was the Holy Spirit. Look up. All the time. And I want to teach us how to acknowledge his presence and how to see it, because it's so tangible and so real. And it's the difference between a Christian that says, oh, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus died on a cross. Yeah, that's cool. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. And all those things that we believe, that's great. If you believe, you know, you'll be saved. But you still have a whole life to live right here. And it can't just be the kind, well, it shouldn't just be the kind where we know a form of godliness, but we don't have any power to move about the planet because of sin and brokenness and shame and all those things. There has to come a time when you step over all those things in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of God, and you live on this side in victory. And look where my chains are now. They're way back there. And you don't live according to chains anymore. You live by the filling of the Holy Spirit. So how do we get full? How do we get this on the inside? I'm so glad you asked me that question. Listen to this. Jesus in John 14, and I'm just gonna kind of tell you what it says. You know, Jesus is telling us a lot of good things in this scripture. You know, I'm the light. I'm the way. I am the Messiah. He tells, you know, my Father's house, there's many mansions. I'm going there to make a place for you. He's just breaking down all kinds of things to the disciples, and he's telling them, you know, that they're going to need the Holy Spirit, and that it's good for us if he would go away. And you got, if you're a disciple, you got to be thinking, no way, I never want you to go. And if you're Peter, you say that, you know, I don't want you to leave, Jesus. And he's like, I have to, because when I go, the Holy Spirit, who will bring you all truth, will come, and he'll live on the inside of you. And I think it's like a season of time that is so busy, and we're so distracted all the time with our phone and with our schedule and all the stuff we have to do, that we haven't waited on the Holy Spirit. And he's calling us to wait, to come apart and to wait and ask him to come in again. I like this message more than you do, but that's okay. Now listen to some of this. Hi, Milo. In verse 15, John 14, 15, if you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Capital H, that he, capital H, may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come again. I mean, is that tasty to your spirit? Because that's very tasty to me. The Lord is not going to leave me an orphan. I'm not going to live with some kind of malaise or glaze over my life, my whole life. You have to break through that particular place. And you don't even have to do it. He'll do it for you. He will come by his own spirit and reveal his own spirit to you and live on the inside of you. Now, when you get born again, do you have the Holy Spirit, or is there another thing that happens? Oh, that's a good question too. So there is a measure, just like, you know, Scott and I were talking about this the other day. It's like, you know, there's a measure of ice cream in this bowl, you know, and my bowl is this size, but Milo's is just little, right? We're still both having ice cream, and it doesn't make you better because you're having more. It just means there's something that happens to you besides salvation, where you have the Spirit of God come upon your salvation, and then the Holy Spirit is there, you know, following you around. But it's also something particular happens, and we see it in Scripture several different times. And this is what I want us to get to. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to start looking for it. I don't want to have something where I come up here and lay my hot hands on you and you speak in tongues for 5 minutes and you think you're done. I want you to go on a journey. I want you to look in these scriptures, and I want you to see where the Holy Spirit is showing up. One of my favorite places, we talked about this morning in prayer, is after Jesus' ascension, before the day of Pentecost, where we hear about all the Holy Spirit things. This is one of the things about Foursquare that's kind of unique. You know, we believe that Jesus is the Savior, and then we believe he's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's one of our big trademarks. He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and power. Why? So we can be witnesses. Do you have the Holy Spirit? You can ask yourself if you have it. Have you witnessed this week? Who did you speak to this week about Jesus Christ? And who did you invite into this room today? So we've got a little thing going where we're telling each other, I invited, and we're saying their names, you know, and I have like this vision where we put all those names back on that board and we just start putting their names there until they come. We start preaching, not so that we can have a full church, that's fun too, but so that their names might be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not just on that board, and so that something comes to pass because the Holy Spirit lives in us, right? And he's beckoning us to draw all men to himself. And so Jesus ascends. Before the day of Pentecost, before the Holy Ghost move, and he shows up in the upper room where the guys have locked the door because they're scared. The guys are scared. Is anybody scared? Anybody walking in fear of the future? Anybody afraid of not getting another paycheck, or afraid that, you know, when something comes on your body, you can be afraid that you're going to die. You're afraid that you're never going to measure up. There's so much fear, and it's crippling. And these guys were afraid. They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of, you know, the Romans. They were afraid that they were going to be killed because Jesus was killed. And they're hiding. And they tell, you know, they tell Thomas, you know, they have this whole story unfolds in John 20. And they tell him, you know, he's alive. Jesus is alive. He came back just how he said he was going to. And Thomas goes, I won't believe that. I won't believe that until I put my finger in those holes. I've been there. You know, I've been there. And so they're in this room and the door's locked. And then Jesus comes in the room anyway, the way that Jesus does. And he goes, hey, Thomas, come here. You must see. You must see it. Put your hand here and here. Put your hand in my side. Because if you guys don't get it, nobody else is going to get it. And I'm speaking that to this room. If we don't understand these things, no one else will get it. And our church will age out. And we're done. I'm not going out like that. We are going out in a wave of glory with as many people snatched up out of the edges as we can grab a hold of. That's where we're going. And so Jesus does a thing. He breathes on them. There's one little sentence in the middle of John 20. He breathes on them, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Something happens to them when Jesus breathes. I'm not going to breathe on you, man. I told these guys this morning, I had coffee. You don't want that. And I'm not Jesus. But you want him to do it. You want and need the breath of God. Have you asked him for it lately? You know, Rick and I were talking earlier this week, and he's having these bouts of vertigo, and I don't know if you want everybody to know that, but I had it too when I was in my 50s, and so I don't know. I don't know what happens there. Something about balance, you know, it's about balance. But what's happening? And he made a statement that was so good, because it's not just that. I mean, we can start talking about all the things that are facing, and sometimes it feels like a crushing. You know, like, I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I'm pressed, but I'm not crushed. I'm still here. But you can look all around at loss and broken places and the severity of situations. And Rick said, I don't know if we're under attack or if this is the beginning of the shaking of the house of God, but I'm in no matter what. Whatever it is, I'm in for the long haul. And whatever's going on and whatever befalls us, we belong to one way bigger. And all of our days are measured and next to the King of all kings. Father, just thank you for your mercy and your goodness. You're so good. Whatever befalls us, we belong to him, right? So the Holy Spirit, he comes. And he lives on the inside, and he's going to start to tell you things. It's the Spirit of truth. He's going to tell you the truth about you. He's going to tell you the truth about himself. And he's going to reveal things that are powerful, that you might be a carrier of his presence all of your days. You tracking with me? Does anybody like that? Anybody like that idea? There's another place in the book of Acts where they, you know, it's Paul. Now, Paul has been through a lot of stuff, too. I'm just going to read a couple more scriptures, and I'll be finished for today. So, thank you. Whoever said that, I'm going to do it. There's a place where Paul is telling, you know, the story of the gospel, and he's speaking to the people, and he says, hey, do you know about the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And they say this, I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Did you know that you know stuff that Christians don't even know it? And what happened, like, we had this charismatic movement where everybody thought they were better than all the other Christians because they could start to hear prophetic words and see dreams and have visions, things that come along with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they started to act better than. Well, that's ridiculous. That's not the way God moves. If God gives you a vision, a prophetic word, a word of knowledge or something like that, shouldn't you even be more humble? That you have to carry something that's that important to somebody's life and present it to them in a way that they might get a hold of him, the garment, that maybe they'll see who he is and that he's madly, truly, deeply in love with them. That's what a carrier of the presence of the Holy Spirit does. And that is us. There's this thing I say all the time. You're so much more than you think you are. And it means this whole thing that I'm talking about, carriers of his presence, appointed for such a time as this. But we have to go from being little and afraid to moving in the power of his presence. Not because we're great, because he's great, right? You guys can stand up. I'm going to read a little Galatian scripture to us. It's just everywhere. You go home and read through the book of Acts. Do a study on The baptism of the Holy Spirit, is that real? And Google, if you're doing a Google search, go down like 4 pages till you get into Bible stuff, okay? Don't go on an AI journey. Just go in the Bible and see what it says, right? Follow it up. Now hear this, and I'll let you go after this. Galatians 5, 16, it says, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now just put a little pin in that and maybe read it like 5 times this week, and we'll pick it up right there next week, okay? All right, I love you a lot. God bless you, people. Happy Mother's Day, all you beautiful moms. Have a great rest of your day. Love you a lot.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.